Welcome to
the most epic Holly Jolly
Christmas Showdown.
I'm Amanda Figueroa.
And I'm Adriana York, formerly Figueroa.
And we are two sisters who love Christmas and competition. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
All right. So we are in our Countdown to Christmas category, aka Hallmark movies. We are looking at what really made this podcast a podcast, these movies. And so we are looking at our second movie today. But before that, a little bit about us. Let's talk about our weekly Christmas cheer.
Yes. So this week I was watching Backyardigans with my daughter.
Ooh.
And we watched the Christmas episode. And there was definitely, like, they weren't Christmas words, and I can't remember what the song was, but it was definitely, like, a Christmas tune,
mm-hmm.
and it was just so fun to dance around the living room with her singing along to
that was a nice
faux Christmas song.
Yeah. I remember that. That was really good. My weekly Christmas cheer is related to coffee again. So, last Friday was National Coffee Day. And I wanted to go out and get a climbing harness anyway, so we need to go to REI. And on the way to that store, there was a Dunkin'. And we didn't get it on the way. We got it on the way back, but I got a nutty pumpkin iced coffee. First of all, I never get iced coffee.
Nope.
But I was feeling it. And the nutty pumpkin, just something about it. It's nice.
Very festive.
Yeah. I know it's like fall, but like pumpkin also, to me, is...
It like signifies the beginning of Christmas season, because as soon as it's a holiday season, it's Christmas for me, at least.
Yeah, I pretty much feel that way. I just told my niece, your daughter, that you have Halloween and you kind of just get through that, and then after that, it's Christmas. So I definitely make people mad with that statement.
No, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, So if you are new to the podcast, the way that our episodes work is that we are going to jump into a summary of the movie. Today we are looking at A Holiday Spectacular. You can find it on Hallmark Channel and like the Hallmark Movies On Demand website and stuff like that. If you don't like a spoiler, I highly encourage you to go and watch the movie first and then come back and see what we have to say about it. But if you don't mind a spoiler, don't really feel like sitting through a movie or want to know if it's even worth your time watching it, then just keep listening. We're going to give a summary of the movie and then we're going to give you our thoughts in the form of five categories.
Yeah.
So our categories are plot, main character, aesthetic, overall Christmas cheer, and supporting characters. And that's how we'll rate the movie, and that's how we'll figure out where this movie falls in this category.
Yeah. So let's get into it.
Let's do it. A Holiday Spectacular is a 2022 Hallmark Channel original movie set in New York City featuring the Radio City Rockettes. We meet Lucy as she storms out of her auditions, frustrated with her performance and feeling self-conscious from what the other girls are saying about her. In efforts to encourage her, Lucy's grandmother decides to share her own story of her struggle to make her dreams come true and become a Radio City Rockette. We dive into the story and travel back to Philadelphia in 1957. The year that the Rockettes first performed at the Thanksgiving Day Parade, where Lucy's grandmother, Margaret, watched the performance in awe on her parents' TV. That following fall, we meet Margaret and her mother as they chat details for Margaret's upcoming wedding. We soon learn that Margaret isn't too sure about her upcoming nuptials to Maxwell, and that for Margaret's mother, Elizabeth, this wedding and marriage is more of a social statement for their high society lifestyle. As a star pupil of her dance class, Margaret is invited to audition for the Radio City Rockettes. Much to her surprise, she clinches the final spot for the season and uses this opportunity to chase after the dream that she had realized just the year before, to become a Rockette and probably escape the expectations and control of her strict parents. Mm. To make this dream a reality, Margaret concocts a lie centered around wedding planning to get her parents to allow her to spend time in New York City. While her parents believe she will be dress shopping, networking, furthering their high society status, and staying with her friend Kitty, Margaret will actually be living a life of rehearsals, hard work, and living in an all-women's apartment and discovering love for the first time. Mm. As she arrives at the apartment, Margaret meets John, a Navy photographer. Then, Margaret is quickly introduced to a lifestyle she has never known and chooses not to reveal what her life is like back in Philadelphia, taking on almost a new version of herself, Maggie. She meets her roommate, Sophia, a Brooklyn native, Alice, a very welcoming Rockette veteran, and Janet, a fellow newbie. And Margaret learns of the heart of being a Radio City Rockette, friendship and family.
Nice.
Excited to begin her first and only season, Maggie and her fellow first years attend their first rehearsal and are thrown into the world of professional dancing. After rehearsal, Sophia and Maggie stop by a local market where they run into John and Ben, the son of the market owner and his cousin. Sparks begin to fly between Maggie and John, as well as Sophia and Ben, and we learn of John's goals of NYU for digital photography, right? It was digital photography?
Mm-hmm.
After his time in the Navy.
Well, digital arts photography.
Yeah, digital arts. You know, digital something. Mm-hmm. It is after this encounter that Maggie shares with Sophia that she is spoken for back home. Kind of like a nothing is going to happen with John, so don't get your hopes up kind of thing. Time quickly flies as Maggie's days are filled with rehearsals and new friendships, so she calls home to ask for more time in the city. And after this call, the girls, Sophia, Alice, and Janet, discover the sort of life that Maggie had lived up until this point. Confused as to why Maggie didn't share about her family and seemingly a bit jealous, the girls encourage her to be her true self around them because, after all, that's what being in the Rockette family is all about. After getting paid, Sophia and Maggie decide to go shopping where they run into John. And John joins in on the shopping fun where Maggie finds a beautiful nutcracker pin that is unfortunately too expensive for her pocket change paycheck. During their conversation, the two discover how short their time together will be as Maggie is only dancing for one season and John will be going back into the Navy. At the next rehearsal, the dance list for the Thanksgiving Day Parade is posted and excitingly, the first years make the cut. During her dream-realizing performance, John watches on in awe and Maggie's lie nearly gets discovered by her parents as the parade is playing on their TV, but thankfully no one is watching it. After the parade, Maggie takes a commemorative walk around the city and runs into John in a Christmas tree lot. They take a stroll back to her apartment, enjoy roasted chestnuts, and share a dance in the year's first snow in Central Park. The time has finally come for the Rockettes' first performance in Radio City Music Hall, and they are thrilled. Stage lights shine on the most dazzling red and green dresses, exquisite nutcracker outfits, and sparkling gold fringe dresses as they sport the iconic high kick line. After their performance, the Rockettes are met by John and Ben, waiting outside of their building with a Christmas tree in tow. All of the Rockettes get to enjoy fun Christmas activities and foods while decorating the tree, all thanks to John and Ben. John shows off his photography talent with pictures that he had developed, one of them being a picture of Maggie during their Thanksgiving Day stroll, and another being a snowy grate. It is now when Maggie discovers that photography is the route that John needs to take and encourages him to chase after his dream. After an evening performance, Maggie and the girls run into Kitty, Maggie's friend that she was supposed to be staying with, and this mm-hmm. is where Kitty shares her excitement and pride for Maggie, as well as her sadness and frustration for being Maggie's lie to her family. This conversation leaves Maggie feeling overwhelmed and unsure of who she is. Sophia quickly responds with, "Well, you're definitely not Margaret." The next night, John and his parents attend the performance, and during their conversation following it, Maggie shares her frustration with John for not sharing his plans for his future with his parents. That was a lot of sharing. Yeah. But John quickly ensures Maggie that seeing her accomplish her goals motivates him to make his dreams come true. Through a tiff with Sophia, where Sophia learns of Maggie's engagement, a trip to Rockefeller Center with John, and the realization of her love for her new life, Maggie decides she's going to break the news to her parents and Maxwell the next morning. That morning, much to her dismay, she doesn't need to share the news over the phone as planned because Kitty lets her know that Maggie's parents are actually traveling into the city in just a few short hours. Attempting to balance the lie she had told her parents with her and her new reality, Maggie bounces between plans with her parents and the day's performances. With some encouragement from her fellow Rockettes and choreographer Mr. Matthews, Maggie finally shares of the life she has built in the city and her plans to stay there permanently. Eager to tell John about the exciting new development, Maggie goes to his place just as he is getting ready to drop off his NYU application. Maggie's former engagement comes up during the conversation, and the news sends John into a spiral, stating that he never knew her, she was lying to her family, and she was also pushing him to be honest with his when she wasn't doing the same. Mm. Upset by the news, Maggie and the girls meet at a local diner where they finally all discover and realize what everyone had been sharing with them about the Rockettes being a family. In a chance encounter, both John's mom and Maggie's mom attempt to find Maggie at Radio City Music Hall, where friendship flourishes, and John's mother urges Elizabeth to watch Maggie perform. That night, before her performance, Maggie has a gift delivered to her. That gift happens to be the Nutcracker pin she had fallen in love with and a note from John. She is filled with hope again, and by the end of the night, everything is made right, and John and Maggie reunite. We are then brought back to present day, where we see John and Maggie's love for each other still going strong, and Lucy is finally feeling encouraged to finish her audition strong as well.
And that's a holiday spectacular. So let's just get into it. Let's talk about how we feel about this movie. So looking at plot now, I gave this plot 3.5 candy canes out of 5. The reason being, aside from the whole Rockette angle, which is completely fun and different, the story follows a typical Hallmark structure. So you have a girl that comes into town hiding the truth about herself. You know, Maggie's hiding the fact that she's rich and engaged to a rich man. And she's expecting to get in and out of her situation pretty quickly. Now, the only difference is that she wants to be in the situation that she's in, but she has that whole life thing. And then she falls in love with her current situation and the guy that's in her current situation. And then the fallout happens 20 minutes before the movie ends. I checked. and then they live happily ever after. And it's like a Hallmark structure. It fit it to a T.
Yeah, it really. Mm-hmm. It really was. But I felt like it was a good Hallmark structure
movie. It was a good one. Like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie.
Like, it was a different take on the typical one, you mm-hmm. know? Because normally it's, like, quite literally a girl living, well, it's kind of the same. but, like, normally it's somebody, they have some big, crazy something happen. They have to move back home or to a different town, like a small town. And then they, like, meet this one guy. And then, like, bada bing, bada boom, they fall in love. And then that's it. But at least, like, she went to a city, like, a big city. And then, like, she's, like, working, you know, like, she didn't go just because things were awful at home or something, or like she had to move, or she didn't go there for a job from the big city that she came from, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know if that made sense, but I know it makes sense to you because you've watched a lot of Hallmark movies. But to anybody else listening, I'm sorry if that was ramble.
Yeah, she really wanted to be there. And she actually really enjoyed not living her rich life.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of a difference, but in terms of like the sequence of events and what happened, it's so Hallmark.
Yeah, typical
Hallmark. I mean, the fallout was just right there.
The fallout was insane.
Yeah, it was quick and it was intense.
So sudden.
Which is usually how it is with Hallmark, because they wait until the last 20 minutes. These are 2-hour movies, pretty much on the dot. And so you have an hour and 40 minutes of just building the story. And then you have 20 minutes left in the movie. Their fallouts are pretty intense and sudden and almost like an overreaction.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was definitely writing the summary, I was like, whoa. This is a lot. But before I go any further, I rated the plot 4 candy canes out of 5 candy canes.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoyed it. And like I said, yes, it was the typical Hallmark plot. It didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that. It was kind of refreshing. Where I docked it, it was just like, it was so like, okay, like, are you sure about that? Like, there was a lot of like, are you sure? Are you actually sure? For example, everyone loves the choreographer. And the Rockettes are a family and they're all bestie pals.
Yeah.
Like, this is professional dancing. I feel like they were just trying to, like, romanticize the Rockettes. And I'm like, is this actually what goes on?
What I didn't agree with, like, this would not happen in a professional setting. And basically, Mr. Matthews is, like, okay with her for missing a performance.
Oh, she missed a performance?
She missed a whole performance. That ruins the...
I didn't process any of that.
The whole lineup. Yeah, when she's at dinner with her parents and Maxwell and shares the fact that she's a Rockette... She was gone for that performance. And so...
I did not... I don't even know where I thought she was.
Yeah, no.
What I thought she was doing.
She missed a whole performance because she hadn't told him yet. And... Yeah. And he was okay with it. And they're like, we missed you during the performance. Like, no. You would seriously have messed up the lineup. There had to have been... What you're saying, there's someone like on call that knows all the dances for the Rockettes to fill in her spot. No, it's going to mess up the entire lineup.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure if there was, say, an understudy or whatever, like, mm-hmm. I know that's probably not the word, but say if there was an understudy. No, like if that understudy has to perform because you're not there, you're kicked off.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that. Like, at least that's how it is in basketball in our experience. Like,
yeah.
You miss a game, you're done for. You're finished.
Like, you miss a game, you're not playing for a while.
A long while. Like, basically end of the season.
Yeah.
So I felt like they were definitely trying to romanticize life as a Rockette.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't realistic in my mind.
Yeah.
And then there were also just like some things like, okay, Maggie and John running into each other as often as they did in New York City. I understand that this is 1958, but I'm pretty sure in 1958, New York City is still booming. She like ran into him like 20 times every single day. It felt like she ran into him when she moved into the apartment. Then at the market that his family just so happens to own. And then while she's going shopping. And then in the Christmas tree lot. And it's just like, after the Christmas tree lot, it was like, they weren't running into each other.
Yeah. You know?
But the amount of times that they ran into each other, I was like, no, it seems like this dude's creeping. And also, later in the movie, when the apartment manager, she's like, can you please go talk to your friend? He's been circling the block all day.
Well, I think also,
I mean, I know it's the life of no cell phones, but like, yeah. Come on, doesn't that sound stalkerish?
I think it sounds stalkerish now, because if a guy was interested in a girl, he would like text her, talk to her over the phone kind of thing. And then you would go on dates or like have meetups and stuff like that. I think it is that in that time where they didn't have cell phones, it was, I have to go where I know that she's going to go so that I can interact with her. I didn't find it creepy because I just, again, I watch older movies and I think that's more typical.
Yeah, it was weird to me.
Okay.
It was one of those that was like, okay, really? But other than that, everything else was really good about the plot. Like, I felt like it was entertaining. It drew me in. I only had to watch this movie twice, which is...
Yeah.
Whew, that's saying a lot.
That is saying a lot.
So, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. Okay, main characters.
Yep.
I had two, Maggie and John.
Same.
Great. I gave them 3 candy canes out of 5 candy canes.
Nice.
Did you go lower?
I gave them 2.5 candy canes out of 5.
Okay, so not too much lower.
No.
I, for the most part, liked them. Like, mm-hmm. Maggie, I think she was just a little cutie patootie. I liked that she was kind of, like, independent and girl power-ish.
Yeah.
And, like, she was just cute. Her smile was adorable. I was like, you're cute.
Yeah.
And then I liked John at the end. Like, old John.
Yeah.
during the movie, he was kind of creepy. And he just did things that I was like, bro, what? Like, for example, when she ran into him at the Christmas tree lot.
Uh-huh.
He was like, you're out at night in the city. Like, I have to walk you home for safety. And at first, he was, like, legitimately, like, it's dark. Like, yeah. You should not be out alone. And then he turns it into jokes and flirting.
Yeah.
But he was starting to be like, I must walk you home. Ha, ha, ha. And it's like, but you were legitimately concerned for a second. Like, where'd that flip come from? That was kind of weird.
Mm.
And then later...
Yeah.
So he was concerned for her safety, and he's like, must be a gentleman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then later, when they break up...
Yeah.
He leaves her to walk home at night by herself.
He does, yeah.
And it's like, oh, just because you're not with her, you're not going to be a gentleman anymore? Okay.
Yeah.
And then... Maggie, whenever she ran into Kitty after the performance, it almost seemed like she took it out on everybody. Like, I don't know who I am anymore. And then it, like, after that next night was when she ran into John and his family because uh-huh. they went to the performance, and she just, like, got mad at him. It's like, are you mad at him or mad at yourself?
Yeah, I thought that they were, they weren't bad. Like, I enjoyed them. And... they had, like, good moments, but they weren't anything wow either. You mentioned, like, creepiness from John, and honestly, for me, he was, like, just kind of there. Like, the face, his face was what was making him desirable, you yeah. know? It wasn't like he had so much personality. And with Maggie... she kind of fell into this very one-dimensional cliche role where it's almost like at times she had no depth. Mm-hmm. Like, you needed the supporting characters there in order to give her some sort of depth.
Yeah.
You know? So, to me, I was like, they weren't bad, but they were just average. Yeah. And I kind of docked them that half a candy cane from a 3 to 2.5 because they are main characters. They should be, you know,
spectacular. Like, we love them.
Yeah, they should be the reason why the movie has personality.
Yeah.
You know, and then the supporting characters give that little sprinkle, that little extra bit.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel that way to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
All right. Aesthetic. What did we think about what the movie looked like? The costuming, the setting, any decorations? How did we feel about the look of it?
Okay, well, considering I don't watch anything in the 1950s, so I don't really know what it was like. I gave it 3.5 out of 5 candy canes.
Mm.
I felt like there were enough things for me and my minimal knowledge for me to be like, oh, this seems like it could be in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. But then also it was kind of boring. Like, the decor and the set was just, like, a little bit boring, but there were things that I held on to that I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. Mm-hmm. So, like, her hair was obviously always, like, very 50s.
Yeah.
The makeup, to me, seemed kind of modern, but, again, I don't really know much about that. But, like, her skirt, I know you noted her skirt.
Yeah.
When they were decorating the tree. But, like, she was always big on her pin. Or her pins. So, yeah. Like, the whatever that thing is called, the cone Thanksgiving centerpiece pin or whatever.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, yeah, I don't know what that's called. It's,
I don't know either, and I didn't bother looking it up.
Yeah.
But it was this big, grand pin, and she loved wearing her pins.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just, like, showed her status. Like, she was still just kind of, like, high society kind of gal.
Yeah.
But wanting to work hard. And so I kind of liked that there were still little bits and pieces of, like, her past that she was just like, oh, this isn't normal.
Yeah.
But she's learning.
Mm-hmm.
She's learning. And I liked the Nutcracker pin. Like, it wasn't extravagant, you know?
No.
And I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that it was just kind of simple and she loved it.
Yeah.
And it, like, from somebody who, her wedding was going to be, like, the talk of the town for the next decade or something. I don't know. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
She just liked a good, simple Nutcracker pin. I was like, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of refreshing. And then, I don't know if you noticed, but the lights, the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
First, okay, on their tree in the apartment, they were the big bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I never thought about it. They probably didn't have the tiny little sparkling lights like we have.
No.
And then also, did you notice on the Rockefeller tree? They were like spotlights on that thing.
Yeah, no.
No, they were massive. My qualm is that it was kind of simple. Like, I've made a note, naked necks. Like, I'll explain. I hate when an outfit is not finished. So, like, if you're wearing a neckline that needs a necklace, put on a necklace.
Yeah.
And there were so many times when Maggie had like a naked neck, or in any supporting character they had a naked neck, and you're like, there's just like this massive space, dude, I need something there. And that really bothered me. And then also, I don't know if I couldn't tell if this fell into plot or aesthetic, probably more aesthetic, but when they were taking their Thanksgiving stroll,
mm-hmm,
they were like, oh, it's the first snow of the season or whatever, the first flakes. And then next thing you know, 2 seconds later, there's snow on the ground.
Yeah. I don't know, because when they were walking on that, like, in that scene in particular, you noticed the snow already. Like, they're walking and there's snow on the ground. So, mm-hmm, I don't know what he was trying to refer to with the first snow. Because obviously there's snow already.
Yeah. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, other than that, it was well done. I just think there could have been more.
Yeah. Well, I gave it 4 candy canes out of 5 because I really felt like I was in the 1950s. I really did like how different you can see between high society and, like, normal people. And I think that's where your naked neck came into play.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you looked at Maggie's mom and Kitty They were dressed to the nines and nothing was out of place and everything was perfect. And so they had their jewelry on. And I think part of the reason that Maggie had maybe a naked neck was that she didn't want to flaunt her jewelry. But I thought the costuming was great. I loved when the girls wore pants, you know, because that was just so cute. And it was such a different style. Like, it even kind of changes from, they were at the end of the 1950s going into the 1960s. So that look, the pants look, was starting to become popular, but it wasn't that big yet. And her mom goes, is she wearing pants?
Yeah, I noted that. And that was so funny.
Yeah. And I loved their outfits because even Sophia's like, no, we're walking to work. You're not going to the theater. But then you saw their outfits anyway. And it was like, still, they were dressed to the nines. And that was the time. Yeah. You know, you dressed really nice. And I loved their rehearsal outfits, like the high-waist shorts with the tights. I mean, everything was just, it really put you in a different time period. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I docked it because there was a lack of accessories at times with Maggie, yes. But even like when she went into Gimbel's, that shop,
yeah,
it felt very barren.
Yeah.
To me. And I don't know if that was like how it was, because I'm used to our shops being like filled with racks.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's different than what they were used to. But it's, when they walked in, it felt very barren.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's weird. And that happened a couple times during the movie.
Okay, next category. Overall Christmas cheer.
Okay.
What'd you give it?
Mine's a little low.
Uh-huh.
I gave it 2.5 candy canes out of 5.
Okay.
I thought there was talk of Christmas, for sure. They talked about some Christmas things. They did some Christmassy things. And there was some Christmassy elements, like we talked about, in the scenery. Like, you knew that you were in Christmas time. But really, it was about Maggie pursuing her dream about being a Rockette. And it was about John, you know, pursuing his dreams. And it was more about those things. And it just happened to be because she wants to be a Rockette. She has to be there during Christmas time. That's when they work. And so it didn't give me, like, the warm, fuzzy feelings.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to curl up next to a fire with, like, hot cocoa. Or I didn't want to, like, put on Christmas music afterwards. Or I didn't want to, like, go do anything Christmassy. It was just like, oh, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, I could watch it in July and be like, yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah. It made me more excited for Thanksgiving.
Honestly.
Rather than Christmas. But I think that's just because it was so centered around the Rockettes. And, like, for me, the parade is, like, the start of Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I rated it 2 candy canes out of 5 candy canes.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much for a similar reason. Like, it was just kind of set around Christmas time. And there were Christmas decor around the movie. But that was it. Like, it wasn't about Christmas. It was about Maggie and her becoming a Rockette,
mm-hmm.
and her relationship with John.
Yeah.
Like, there was no Santa, no gift exchange. There wasn't even a gift exchange.
Yeah, no gift exchanges at all. Except the only gift that happened was
the Nutcracker pin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, honestly, I thought about rating it lower for overall Christmas cheer.
I thought so, too.
But I felt like what the Christmas that they did have was so nice and looks so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I loved the Rockefeller tree. I felt like the Christmas tree lot that they went to was so realistic.
Yeah.
And it was cute. I did like Sophia.
Yeah.
When Maggie first moved in, she was like, okay, you got to help me. I'm putting up Christmas decorations. And Maggie was like, it's not even November 1st or something like that.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet because okay. They show up November 1st.
Okay, yeah. And Sophia was like, so? Mm-hmm. And then also John's mom at the market.
Yeah, she's
like, it's time to decorate. And her dad was like, or John's dad was like, man, if I let you, I'm sure you would put up decorations in August.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So I did like how excited they were for Christmas, but that was like where the Christmas cheer was carried.
Yeah, I would agree. So it was a good movie, just wasn't overly Christmassy.
Yeah, it just wasn't good for a Christmas movie competition podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, last category, supporting characters.
Yeah. I said the supporting characters were Rose, Sophia, Alice, Janet, Ben, Kitty, Maggie's parents, and John's parents. Pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much anyone else.
Well, not anyone else, because there was a...
It was like Mr. Matthews
and yeah, I didn't,
the other Rockettes.
I didn't really include them. And I didn't include Lucy, who Maggie was telling the story to.
I didn't think... Yeah, thank God we didn't, because she would get a low score.
Yeah. I just felt like supporting characters are the people who support the storyline in the main characters.
Yeah, throughout. Not just like extras or whatever.
Yeah. So I thought those were the people for it.
Yeah. I gave supporting characters 3.5 candy canes out of 5 candy canes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I loved most of them. I really, like, while her parents were the villains, I kind of liked their role and, like, how aggressive they were. It's just kind of like, okay, that's how it was. No wonder she wanted to leave. So I thought that their characters were really good, and I thought that they were played very well.
Yes.
I enjoyed them. Except her mom's, like, flip-flop at the end. I was like, okay, that's a little sudden. And it, the way that it was portrayed, it seemed like she just flipped and chose to support Maggie because Maggie fell in love with John.
I wouldn't say that was her flip. I thought her flip was when Maggie gave her speech at the restaurant about how she felt like a strong, independent woman, and that she had dreams and she would wish that her parents would want that for her. And it almost was like the mom was kind of like, yeah, I had those thoughts too, but I could never act on it, or never felt like I could act on it. And I felt like that's when the switch happened.
But she still went back to the Radio City Music Hall and was, like, trying to encourage her to go back home.
Yeah. I think that's what she did. She convinced herself, and probably to explain to her husband where she was going. You know, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to get her back and knock some sense into her. And he's like, oh, go ahead.
I mean, fair. But, like, she was still just so, like, oh, Maggie needs to come home, yada, yada, yada. And then, what was her name? Harriet?
Harriet, yeah.
Harriet, John's mom, was like... Okay, because John had given his parents his portfolio, and there was a picture of Maggie, you know, dancing in the snow or whatever, and she's smiling. And so Maggie's mom is like, no, she's going home. She's going home. Like, I'm here to take her home. And then John's mom was like, I'm here to make things right. Like, yeah, John this. And then Maggie's mom is like, what? John? I had no idea. And then she shows her the picture and she's like, aww. Like, I was like, bro, what? Because of another man? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, okay, that's a weird switch. Mm-hmm. I liked Kitty. I felt like she was very realistic. You know, like, I would absolutely be upset and be annoyed if I was a friend to somebody who was just lying to their family and just using me as a cover. And, like, I never even got to spend time with them. And for the longest time, we lived in different states. And now you're in my city and we're not seeing each other.
Yeah.
Like, that's No. And then Janet was aggressive, but she added personality. Mm-hmm. Alice was a little too obsessed with the Rockettes.
Yeah.
Like, too obsessed.
Yeah, I wondered what her home life situation was, because...
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Sophia or Maggie was like, you're not going home for Thanksgiving? And she goes, the Rockettes are my family. And I was like, are they not supportive of her dream? You know?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole time she was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, I've always thought I was gonna be a dancer, and now, like, I'm not. I don't know how I'm gonna survive. And I was like, I get it.
Well, my thing is, what do they do the rest of the year? You know, she talked about being a Rockette, but it's like, you're not a Rockette the whole year round. Mm-hmm. So what do you do?
Yeah. You didn't develop any other skills or explore anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't try, like, teaching a class?
Yeah. That too. But for the most part, I liked them. There were also just some things that I, like, didn't like. Like, Sophia and Ben. I get that they had to be together because Ben, like, spilt some tea at some point in the movie. So he kind of had a role. And then also, Ben was going to take on the market because John didn't want to do it for his dad. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like, it was only semi-necessary. Yeah. Like, it made sense, but it wasn't like, okay, do we actually need it?
Yeah.
I loved... Who was the apartment manager? Did you say her name?
Rose.
I loved Rose. Even though I had qualms with her, like, what do you do? Why did you flip all of a sudden with John?
I thought that was just typical New York. Like, I thought she was just a typical New Yorker, though, when she did the flip-flop, you know?
Yeah.
And then she's like... She goes, I'm Jewish. They bring the Christmas tree. And she goes, nice, I'm Jewish. And then they're like, well, think of us as delivery men. You're like, and we got sandwiches. He goes, corned beef, extra lean. She's like, okay. Like, you know, I'll take that.
Yeah. Or when Maggie moved in and she was like, I need help taking my bags up. And Rose was like, I'll help. And then she takes the smallest bag.
Yeah.
Leaves Maggie with four full-on suitcases.
Yeah. Yeah. I gave the supporting characters 4 candy canes out of 5. Mm-hmm. Because I just felt like I can see what you mean about it. Like, Sophia and Ben, was it necessary? But it kind of gave it more of a real feel. Mm-hmm. It teetered on having too many subplots, but it honestly, it worked out really well, you know, having all that information about other people.
Yeah.
It kind of just gave it a more realistic feel of what it would be like for Maggie to be going to dance with the Rockettes.
Yeah.
You know, that's her living her life. You know, she would know these things about these people. I loved Sophia. Sophia was so good and just perfect. But I liked Kitty, too. I thought she was very realistic. And I thought her hurt was justified.
Yeah.
Where I kind of almost thought that her hurt was so justifiable that when Maggie was upset, she really made Maggie look like a spoiled little brat for a second. Because
what part of Maggie? Well, I think every time that Maggie was upset, it was unreasonable, but...
Yeah, and just so much of the supporting characters was so realistic and really just gave this depth.
Okay, she's not a supporting character, but this part was so funny. So when Maggie's parents are in Kitty's apartment, and Kitty's, like, maid is pouring tea for Maggie's mom, she's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, a whole other person to take care of in this apartment. Like, I hope she didn't put add too much extra work for you. And the maid is like, bro, what are you talking about?
And Kitty's like, she goes, yeah, you know, she was so good that it was like she wasn't even here at all. It was just so sassy.
Yeah.
That, it was good.
It was so good. When they said that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
They were a good cast.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that takes us to our totaling. I gave A Holiday Spectacular a total of 16 and a half candy canes out of 25.
And I gave A Holiday Spectacular 16 candy canes out of 25.
So for a grand total of 16 and a quarter candy canes out of 25. But we have our cringe factor.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Icicles falling. Dodge, dodge.
Run!
So, what did you give A Holiday Spectacular?
I gave it a cringe factor of 1.5 icicles out of 5 icicles. I know we didn't, like, consider her a character, but, like, Lucy...
Yeah.
Was so cringy. Like, yeah. At one point, she goes... Oh no! And it was just like the worst oh no you could ever hear on a movie. Like, it was just like so fake.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was just, of course, they all worked out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they were on the same exact stage at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Where they shared their first kiss in 1958. And then they're kissing again. It was kind of cute going back and forth. But then also, like, of course, like, they're both still involved. And they're able to just randomly get on the Radio City Music Hall stage. Like,
yeah.
It was very Hallmark-y.
Yeah.
And so I think there was just a baseline of, like, one icicle because it is Hallmark.
Mm-hmm.
And then 0.5 was just, like... Lucy.
I gave it 2 icicles out of 5. Yeah, like, one goes for being a Hallmark film. There's just that natural cringe. But what really grinded my gears was, obviously, the characters of the movie, Maggie, Sophia, Janet, Alice, they were not Rockettes. So what really made me, like, was when we saw the performances, they should have just put them in the back. Put them in the back of all the performances. Because anytime you did a close-up, okay, very first time we saw a performance, Sophia and Maggie are in a green dress in the center of this red and green dress routine. So there's 2 reds and 1 green dress. Mm-hmm. And they are in the middle. But when you pan out, obviously they can't be in there because they don't know how to dance like a Rockette. And you can tell.
Yeah.
With Alice, she's black. So in some of them, you would pan out to where Alice was supposed to be. She's supposed to be in the front of the line of the toy soldiers. And when they pan out, it's a white girl.
You know, I didn't pay attention then because I was, like, actively looking during the performances. I was like, wait, are they in there? Like, knowing that they're not. But I didn't notice those differences.
I clearly saw it. And I was sitting there and I was like, this is awful.
And obviously really made you mad.
Yeah. And that was pretty much where a lot of it came from. I was like, I don't like this. Or when they would do their, like, high kicks and... like, you can tell how high the Rockettes kick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it zooms in on their face. And I'm like, yeah, they're not kicking right now.
Yeah, their leg is not hitting their face. So, obviously, they're just jumping up and down.
Yeah. So.
You know what else really got me?
What?
The snowy grate.
The snowy grate. You didn't talk about it. Yeah, when he took his pictures and...
he got them developed and showed them to... Maggie, there's a freaking snow-covered, like, grate, and it's not, like, cute and artistic. It's just, like, a zoomed-in picture of a snow-covered grate.
Yeah.
And Maggie's like, you have so much talent. I was like, dude, I'm pretty sure my daughter at 4 months old could could take that exact same picture. Like, it was awful. Yeah. And then it kept happening.
Anyways, so all in all, that gives us a cringe, a total cringe of 3.5 icicles. So the new total is 12.75 candy canes out of 25.
Yep.
So
a little over half.
A little over half. It was lower than I expected, but...
But, like, when you look at the categories that we're scoring it on...
It makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's still a good one. Everyone should go and watch it.
I will say it's one of the better Hallmark ones.
It is. It's one of the easier ones to get into.
Yeah. Like, while we did give it a cringe factor, like, I know there are some other Hallmark movies that can have a way higher cringe factor.
Yeah. So that is it for this week. Tune in next week as we cover our third movie in Countdown to Christmas, where we follow an actress turned director who is writing a play about the real author of Twas the Night Before Christmas. Mm. Apparently, there's a debate. And she wrote a play about it. And things get kind of weird when the author seemed to come to life? Question mark?
Question mark. Big question mark.
So tune in next week when we go over Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Adriana.
Have a holly jolly day. Bye.
See ya.